This is Stephen Strang. A couple of years ago, Charlotte, North Carolina was actually in crisis. You may remember that there were riots. There were out-of-town agitators coming in to stir things up. Charlotte was in the news with transgender bathrooms and that type of thing. But you know what? God raised up some Christian leaders like Bondi Shavda, a longtime friend of mine, who told me recently when I was in Charlotte an amazing story of how they just showed love to the officials and to the police and how Christians work together to make a difference. And Bonnie is a very dynamic person. She and her husband, Mahesh Shavda, pastor All Nations Church, she's just on fire. And I said to her, would you share this with my listeners on the Strang Report? And she was very happy to do so. You're going to want to listen to my exclusive interview with Bonnie Shavda after our opening, and then I have a few things to say at the end.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Bonnie Shavda, you told a pretty incredible story at a meeting we went to about changes that you've seen happen in your city of Charlotte, which from just watching the news, Charlotte is becoming more and more liberal, shall we say, with transgender bathrooms, and you had some riots a few years ago. So from a spiritual point of view, what is happening and how can this inspire other people?
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. The word that I would use is mobilization. And what happened with us is when we began to see that our city actually had been targeted to flip it away from the things that hold to the societal grace of the nuclear family, of the economic well-being for everyone, not just for special interests. Well, we started getting more engaged, first of all, by listening. We started going to our city council meetings. We started going to our Board of Education meetings and those kind of things. It just so happened that God's timing is always perfect, because as we were doing that, these national special interest things began to assault our city. But we had begun to be present, and we pushed forward on relationships with persons on our city council, with people running for office, that sort of thing. Not trying to be an influence, but more to be a relationship. And this is what I want to say. Crisis is the church's opportunity to find their calling and destiny. It's like Esther's thing for such a time as this. And the Holy Spirit is using crisis in our families' lives, in our city's scenarios, and in our nation to allow the church to hear the word, you have been called for such a time as this. And you mentioned the riots, for instance. We had gotten sort of familiar with some of the powers that be in the natural and in the spirit that were concentrating on the city of Charlotte because of the HB2 scenario, some of the advent of some of the gender fluidity into our public school curriculum, et cetera. So there had begun to be an awakening. But then when the riots actually happened here, a small group of pastors, primarily African American, and myself, we looked at that and we said, we cannot allow this anarchy to take over our city. And we made a decision that at the possible risk of our own lives, we were going into the midst of that chaos to engage people, to talk people down off the ledge, if you will, in spite of the radical activists, national activists who had come here to stir up the at-risk community. And as we did that, doors began to open for us relationally. A couple of things that happened. One in particular was our law enforcement saw that there was a whole populace in cities that were concerned about the security and well-being of every family and were willing to fill these otherwise vacuums that chaos takes opportunity on. And out of that, as we took one step at a time through the doors opened. And let me say, Stephen, I'm talking to all of your listeners. The doors are open now. For every person listening, they are finding themselves at the epicenter of destiny. So as the doors began to open, we are collaborating now with our law enforcement, our local police department and first responders, with filling the relational space ride-alongs. We have an army of volunteers that we're raising up with an easy on-ramp training program where they're able now to engage any person with any kind of philosophy in a winsome conversation in our streets, whether it's for a pleasant situation or some kind of confrontational scenario. We're training people on how to engage the media. We're training people on how to listen to people who have different opinions than you.
Okay, give me some examples. I heard you tell that when these riots happened, one lady just had a t-shirt that said free hugs. And so, you know, of course, that's a person-to-person kind of interaction. But what are some of these other things, like with the police department and the doors that you're saying are starting to open?
Well, we saw that in the media and in many other cities, there was a rising antipathy towards law enforcement in general. And it was being captured emotionally by the media narrative and then starting to pull the ideas of racism and use the real criminal problem with the criminal justice system in general as kind of a toolbar to create more division and chaos and stuff. We just started going out to our police stations and praying outside. Well, they were a little nervous because there had been, you know, so many public disruptions and stuff. And here in Charlotte, we did that on one occasion, and the police officers saw us and they came out to kind of potentially dispel whatever. What are you guys doing? And we said, we've come to bless you and pray for you and let you know that there's a wide community of support for our law enforcement. Turns out the believers that were officers said, can we come out and pray with you? So step by step, these relational doors began to open. And we just continued to go through those doors to where we came and said, we can bring you a volunteer army that will serve to support the officers and their families, that will serve to fill some of the vacuums of ride-alongs with police officers who have to be the crisis intervention guy, the psychologist, the pastor, the, you know, the child welfare person, when they're really there just to uphold the law and protect the safety of citizens. So we've found that our government of cities actually rests on our law enforcement, our literal officers who go out on the street every day, and they need help. They need friends, they need volunteers, they need believers to fill the vacuums of interfacing with the rest of the citizenry in the wider community. So that was one of the things, and it all began because we were willing to get in the middle of riots and talk to the people who were rioting, find out who was actually fomenting the unrest, and began to unravel things from there. And at the same time, began to come as friends to our governing departments in our cities. And then God would bring believers to the surface who have been in elected office and afraid to be godly representatives there because they felt outnumbered and overshadowed. So we're watching the Lord literally begin to turn the dynamics. And this is the additional thing that I would say that we're discovering in Charlotte. We had no idea 3 years ago, 5 years ago, that Charlotte was also ordained for a particular time in global history. We're coming upon an event now that will be the largest media event in human history. And we find that these little steps we've taken have positioned us to potentially be a part of a major demonstration of light and righteousness in our city when the whole world will be watching.
And what is that media event?
That media event is the Republican National Convention that is coming to Charlotte, North Carolina in 2020.
And what's happened in Charlotte since you started being involved? Has the school board backed off in terms of the transgender? You know, some of that was through the legislature, of course. What is happening right now?
So what's happening right now is our positive relational influence, literally beginning with our law enforcement. We discovered that all the rest of our governing bodies ultimately are dependent on our law enforcement keeping peace and safety. We never would have thought of law enforcement being the element of government that needs to be the strongest, with the most solidarity, with the most righteousness, with the most citizen engagement. But that literally is where government starts or ends for a city. So in that context, our chief of police has become a tremendous friend. And with our collaboration, his influence and friendship in our wider city governing officials has begun to grow, and their hearts have begun to change. And so there literally is a flourishing of positive relational collaboration, even with people that initially were completely opposed to some of the chief's agendas, some of the things that we hold dear as traditional values. And they're coming to the light. They're starting to see that all boats will rise when we come together on basically Judeo-Christian foundations. The nuclear family, peace and security in our city means that the at-risk community will ultimately start being delivered of their bondages. Economic stability and increase will start happening for everyone. So I can just say it's day by day. It's the little stuff, but we have armies of ready volunteers that just need an on-ramp. And so for those who are listening, we need to be allowing crisis of any kind to start showing us what our destiny is, and have the courage to lay our lives down, to enter into the fray at that level, and begin to look around in the crisis and see the individuals that God is sending us to with a word of encouragement or a helping hand or some kind of resource. And then the friendship that is returned begins to set you in places of power and influence.
And what's this done to the Christian community, different churches? Is there more unity? What's happened?
That is exactly what has begun to happen. And people are getting so excited because they're starting to see there are others in the city who are praying like we are, who are believing and are looking for a way to actually steward our city, to become the priests and kings in our city. And so that's creating a coming together across denominations, across racial lines. It's also really reinvigorating the outreach to the at-risk community, the taking care of the poor. It's creating various kinds of collaborations where people with resources didn't know that there was X ministry or X organization working over here that needed those resources. So that is what's happening. It's creating friends of friends that are godly people that have the different pieces of the puzzle coming together to heal a city or to deal with particular strongholds or weaknesses or crisis points in a particular city.
And let me ask you about people, I'm going to say, on the other side, maybe the ones who are susceptible to these outside agitators who I assume finally went home. But they were obviously problems there, and people who maybe felt hostile to even Christianity or to the authorities or whatever. Are you seeing any kind of shift at all? Like, are people maybe laying down some of those offenses and maybe admitting that the Judeo-Christian nuclear family is the way to go?
You know, the thing that might surprise everyone is the fact that, say, for instance, in the middle of those riots, in between the loud chanting through the megaphones, we were talking to the so-called rioters about where they went to church, about how many kids they had, about what their kids were up to, a little bit about their personal stories. And the reality was they weren't even really on that page. But the problem was they felt threatened because of certain lapses in the criminal justice system, for instance, the African American community. Those riots in Charlotte were sparked by a police-involved shooting. The people on the streets did not have the whole story of what had gone down, and they just were anxious. It was anxiety in their own lives of security in their own community that had drawn them into that riotous faction. And when there was another voice, another group of people that was able to come along and give hope and actually listen and give them an opportunity for their voice to be heard at a different level than also burning the city down, it began to have a real impact. And that's where the coming together and the turning has begun to happen.
So as we wrap up this podcast, what would you say to encourage a listener who's been listening to all of this? What is the first step that they could do?
For us, it was a crisis. And we said yes, rather than staying, quote unquote, in our prayer closet or staying in our churches and praying about the problem. We said, we got to put feet on our prayers. And it literally was those crisis opportunities. And we realized that there are vacuums, that unrighteousness has taken over because simple, righteous people with the very gifts you have, you don't need anything more than what you have already, which is a person named Jesus Christ who is ready to engage every person at the level of where they're at. And he has what they need. And you, listener, you carry all of that.
You know, this is a message that we have to get out. The crisis is really the church's opportunity to find their destiny and purpose. Christians, in a very difficult situation, were able to talk people off the ledge in terms of violence. Did you notice how open the police department was to get help from just regular people and to find out that the whole city wasn't against them? You know, often when there's a vacuum, the enemy slips in, but here there was a vacuum, and the church came in and saw a huge, huge difference. The podcast today was not about my new book, God, Trump, and the 2020 election, but I talk a lot about the crisis that's going on in our country and really why we have to make a difference. I'm making the point during the election season, but you know, long after this election is in the history books, long after Donald Trump is out of office, a lot of these issues are going to remain the same, and the church has to be the church. So I thank Bonnie Shavden, her husband Mahesh, for the example that they're setting and for the influence that they have. And I want to encourage those who are listening that you too can have a huge, huge impact. I want to encourage you to read my book. I do that in nearly every podcast. It's available wherever Christian books are sold. We had to order reprint today, so it's doing very, very well, and I appreciate it. But if you would like to buy a signed copy from our website, you can go to GodTrump2020.com. That's a shortened version of the name of the book. I'll repeat it, GodTrump2020.com, and order my book. You'll get a signed copy. And I will really, really appreciate your support. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report. Thank you for helping me have over 1 million downloads since the first of the year. I am so appreciative of your support. Share this with others who you think might be inspired, and tune in again tomorrow for another exciting podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.